the same person. So don't think that there's confusion about who this individual was. He's a person well known to history. His name was Quirinius, and he was the governor of Syria, apparently, for two periods. One, an earlier period in which this census was taken. And if you're familiar with the book of Acts, you know that there was a census that is mentioned there as well. That was taken about 14 years later. This was customary among the Romans, and the purpose of it was taxation. Now, we wish that we didn't have to pay taxes, don't we? Is there anyone here that loves to pay taxes? I don't see one hand. We don't like it, but we know it's necessary. We are a part of this world, the same world. We are under authority. God has created governments, and we may not necessarily like all of our government. I dare say that you have some dissatisfaction with some element of our government. Now, thank God we have a Christian president who has professed faith in Jesus Christ and has been bold about that. But we don't always have Christian presidents. We don't always have Christian leaders in our governmental sphere. But here I see a family that is obedient to the powers that God has ordained in this world. We are to be law-abiding people. Now, Mary and Joseph, they could have rebelled. They could have said, I'm not going to pay taxes, and I'm just going to live in rebellion against the government. But what a poor example that would be. We are to be obedient to our government. Tacitus, the Roman historian, had a low opinion of Quirinius in his later life. He spoke of Quirinius' sordid meanness and overbearing conduct. Here was a man that was not really he wasn't a Christian, to be sure. He was a dictator, like many of the rulers were, but yet here we see obedience to the order that God has created in His world. We are to be law-abiding people, and that's one way we give a witness. But I want to also notice, I want us to notice also not only the authority of that world. And again, if you will take your outline there, point A there, I want us to notice. Point A should be the authority of the world. But I want us to notice also, point B, the cruelty of that world. This was a cruel world. It was a cold world. A world that didn't care about this family that had an urgent need. Now, you know the story, how God appeared to Mary, this little virgin girl. She had never known a man in an intimate sense. And yet she was bearing a child, and that child was the product of the Holy Spirit. And we don't understand everything about it, but we understand that here was God becoming flesh. God had come to dwell among us in the womb of Mary. And there were, you know, Nazareth was a small town, and we understand that, living in a small town. And we've talked about how there are no secrets in a small town. There had to be whispers, and there had to be gossip there in that small town. And I so admire Joseph, because I believe that he was as uniquely prepared for his duty as Mary was for hers in bringing this miraculous child into the world. But it was a cruel world. I don't know the season of the year, but if it was this time of the year, it was very cold. And it was not unusual to be cold in the summer seasons on those hills around Jerusalem. Now, Bethlehem was south of Jerusalem in the hill country. And it says that there were shepherds out in the field at night, and some have supposed by that it couldn't have been at the Christmas season. I don't know all of the arguments, but The important thing is that Jesus was born, and it was a hard thing. There was a cruelty about the world of that day. We live in a cruel world. Many have experienced homelessness and heartaches, but certainly none like Jesus. He is called in Isaiah 53 a man of sorrows. And if you have experienced the cruelness of this world, know that there is a God who loves you. A God who has come to live with us as our Emmanuel, and who has walked that way before us. I see not only the authority of that world and the cruelty of that world here, but I see the universality of that world. Here it says that a census was to be taken of the entire Roman world. This story involved the whole world. Like John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Jesus came for the world. Did you know that? That means Jesus came for you and Jesus came for me. And we can take great comfort in that fact. I want us to notice here in this story not only the world of that journey, but I want us to see the way of that journey. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. It says, "Everyone went to his town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David." Now some have wondered why Joseph would take Mary along. I think probably because Mary was also of the line of David, and that Mary had to go. But it has been supposed that Joseph took Mary out of Nazareth because he didn't want to expose her to disgrace, because she was getting far along in her time of expectancy. Now, I think both could be true, that Mary certainly was of the line of David also. But I think Joseph, being a just man, we're told, wanted to avoid the public disgrace of Mary. It's a beautiful story, is it not? It's a story that touches our hearts to realize that here is God at work in this journey to Bethlehem. I want us to notice that way to Bethlehem was a highway, in a sense. Isaiah 40 and verse 3 says that God wanted there to be a highway. And that John the Baptist came preaching, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." God made His way clear. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, it says, "And thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall a ruler come forth." They had to go to Bethlehem. It was a way plainly marked. And God has marked that way plainly for us. We must also go to Bethlehem in order to be saved. In order to know the Savior, we must go to Bethlehem. It is a highway. It is a hard way, though. And Jesus, in His life, painted no illusions about the hardness of that way when He said that narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way that goes to destruction, and many there be who find that way. God has marked that way out plainly for us. If you're wondering this morning how you can know that you're saved, to know that the Bible makes it plain. Here is a plain way that God has given. It's a highway, it's a hard way, but it's also a holy way. You know, you might not have thought so if you saw Mary and Joseph trudging along. And of course, the traditional Christmas cards and the other paintings and so forth of that event show Mary riding a donkey. We don't know that she had a donkey. She may have. That would be kind and charitable if she did. But it may be that she simply walked. But we see them as they trudge across the landscape, and it seems like such a beautiful picture. But remember that Jesus came to suffer. Jesus came to identify with us in our hardships and in our sufferings. Does it not make you want to worship Him, to love Him, to remember, to realize that this is the holy way that in which He came? And He is the Holy One of God. The Bible says that He came from the ivory palaces into this life for you and for me. Here is a holy way. But I want us to notice not only the world of that journey and the way of that journey, but I want us to notice the wonder of that journey. Look with me at verses 5 through 7. It says that He went there to register with Mary, that is, Joseph did. Went there to Bethlehem to register to Mary, with Mary, who was pledged to be married to Him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, or firstborn a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I want us to notice here the wonder of that journey. There's a wonder about Christmas. And I suppose that, for children there may be value in these other stories about Christmas. But I just like to focus on Christ. I just believe that we've lost the wonder of Christmas because we haven't focused on the one whom Christmas is all about. I want us to notice the wonder of rejection. Here we read about this family coming to Bethlehem, and of course the traditional ideas are that it was the night in which they came, the very night in which they arrived in Bethlehem, that they tried to find lodging and they couldn't find it, and so the baby had to be born in a manger. That may be how it happened. But all we're told here is while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. Here's a picture of poverty. Here's a picture of a homeless couple who were there in Bethlehem, and we're told that there was no room for them in the end. And much has been made of that, and I believe rightly so, because there was no room for Jesus in this world. There's the wonder of rejection. Why would God come to a world where He knew He was going to be rejected? I don't understand that, but I know what the Bible says about that in John chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Think of it. The God of the universe has come to this earth, and yet He was rejected. Isn't that a wonder? The old spiritual says, sweet little Jesus boy, we didn't know who You were. That's still true today. There's the wonder of rejection. But know that also, as the hymn writer has said, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. Welcome Him into your life. Welcome Him into your home. Welcome Him into your activities. And if you're doing things that you feel uncomfortable welcoming Him into, then perhaps those are things that you shouldn't be doing. But do we want to honor Christ at the Christmas season? Then let's do so in wonder and in awe. Let's take again that trip to Jerusalem, or that journey to Bethlehem, and worship Him. There's the wonder of rejection. But there's also the wonder of Revelation. Here we're told about this firstborn son and how Mary lovingly wrapped him in cloths. This was customary of the people of that part of the world. It made the baby feel secure. It was really an act of love. Now, it may well have spoken of her poverty. But here was a child that revealed God. I'm sure that when Joseph looked in the face of the baby Jesus, he remembered what he had been told, that this child will be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that here is Emmanuel, come in the flesh, God, which means God with us. And the wonder of that event must have just overcome him with emotion. You know, that we need to put the wonder back in Christmas, don't we? Do you feel a little bit like the glow of Christmas has grown dim? Do you feel like, well, you know, just another Christmas, and, you know, we hear the same commercials, and we hear, you know, some new commercials, but it's really the same thing, and, you know, this pitch to get all wrapped up in the materialism aspects of Christmas. Then we need to get back to the wonder. I want to encourage you to read the Scriptures, to read this thoughtfully and prayerfully, and to read the other Scriptures about the birth of Jesus, and to ask God to put that wonder back in your heart. He will. If you'll take that journey with Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, there's also the wonder of not only revelation, Jesus was God become flesh, but the wonder of redemption. Because unless Jesus became, or God became a man, there would have been no salvation. A perfect sacrifice was needed. Isn't that sad to think about? It's sad, but yet it's wonderful. The purpose that Jesus came for was to die on an old rugged cross. Here was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world in that laying in that little manger. I heard a song, a popular song today, but maybe written maybe 10 years ago by a man named Chris Rice. And he wrote the following words of a poem that he entitled Welcome to Our World. And I'd like to read it to you. Tears are falling, hearts are breaking. How we need to hear from God. You've been promised, we've been waiting. Welcome, Holy Child, welcome. Holy Child, hope that you don't mind our manger. How I wish you would have known, we would have known. But long-awaited holy stranger, make yourself at home. Please make yourself at home. Bring your peace into our violence. Bid our hungry souls be filled. Word now breaking heaven's silence. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world. Fragile fingers sent to heal us. Tender brow prepared for thorn. Tiny heart whose blood will save us. Unto us is born. Unto us is born. So wrap our injured flesh around you. Breathe our air and walk our sod. Rob our sin and make us holy. Perfect Son of God, welcome to our world.